I was going to pray. Let's pray as we look into God's word. Father God, we thank you for the gift of this church. We thank you for the gift of this parish. We thank you, Lord, that you call us into this parish to serve it in new ways and exciting ways. And we thank you for what's gone before us as well. Lord, may we be a blessing and a testimony to those who have gone before us, to the glory of your name. Amen. Really good to see you. Look, you might want to get some Bibles if you want to. If you do want to get a Bible, put up your hand and some folk will bring those around to you because we're going to look at the word here. This is a very familiar text, but we are going to open it up a little bit for us today. We just had a sermon, for those who are visiting, we've just had a sermon series on mission. So this is tagging on the end of that, and it's great to have the 40-hour famine guys here today. Thank you so much for honouring our guys. And it's a great little work that they do, and a really fruitful one as well. And we bless you guys in your ministry. If you open up to Matthew 28, this is a really familiar passage for many of us, and it's kind of like an old shoe, yeah, that you kind of take for granted, an old running shoe, that one of your best ones. You don't notice it until it's gone. So, look, many of us, that those instructions from Jesus himself to make disciples of all nations, many of us, our default for that is, oh, yeah, okay, that's for those who go to the deepest heart of Africa or the deepest heart of PNG, all right? I just want to say, look, that is still really valid, but those days have gone when missionaries have been the ones that we send out from the church, and we just sit in the church and pray for them and hope that they do okay. Yeah, those days have gone. We are living in a different age today, and we are on the cusp of pushing into that as a church, and Kate will be talking to us a little bit later about that and about how we're going to do that. So we look forward to that. What I'll do in this sermon today is we're going to look at where and why this passage finishes Matthew's gospel, which is the Jewish gospel. Why does Matthew finish with this passage? And the second thing is we'll look at what it meant to Jewish believers. What it meant, these words meant to Jewish believers, and what it means to us at St. Mary's today. The words I want to focus in on are Jesus' words. He kicks off this little lecture or a little speech or an encourager to his disciples. He says in verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." I'll read that again. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, what does that mean? Now, most of you have probably seen Bruce Almighty. Yeah, hands up if you've seen Bruce Almighty. Yeah, most of us have. Jim Carrey, all right? He finds out that the story goes, those of you don't know, most of you do, Bruce, life's going wrong, as it does for many of us sometimes, goes badly wrong. And of course he starts blaming God, which is what we do as well. Oh, how can you allow this to happen? So when things go well, we often say, well, it's about me. Yeah, but when it goes wrong, it's God. All right, so he's one of those people. So what he does, or what happens is, God rocks up and he says, Bruce, do you reckon you could run this world for a while? And he goes, I don't know about that. And he gives them all God's powers. So Bruce is in this diner, if you remember, and he's got these powers, apparently, and he starts to experiment with them. And he finds he's got this bowl of tomato soup, and he parts the soup like it's the Red Sea. Wow, that's amazing. And of course, then he steps out of the diner, and there's this music, though, that goes, I know that the song is, but it goes, "He's got the power!" He starts zapping everything. You remember that? We can imagine it. He does things that he probably should not be doing. All right, is that what Jesus means when he says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me"? I wonder. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at what happened previous to everything that has gone on. Massive drama, bizarre drama. And the key to this is in chapter 21. Can anyone, this is like the quiz continuing from last night, can anyone imagine what happened in chapter 21 that brought about Jesus being crucified? Yes, who said that? Thank you, yeah. You win that one, that round. Okay, Jesus cleared the temple. Now we're going to explain a little bit why that was such a game breaker for this narrative. Now, the temple was the place where God resided, where he lived. It was the center of Jerusalem and all of Israel's life. Now, the Passover, which happened annually, the population of Jerusalem would swell by 2 million. 2 million. Now, imagine us hosting the World Cup every year, all right? Because about 2 million visitors come for the World Cup. It's a bit like that. So Jerusalem swelled by 2 million. Now, you can imagine what the locals were thinking. Yeah. There's a bit of money in this for me. I can up my prices. Okay, so what they used to do is these people would come from Northern Africa and the Middle East, and a lot of them were poor. They were people of the land. They were poor, all right? And for a lot of them, this would have been a trip of a lifetime. You imagine that. And they would arrive, and they would have they'd have money from all these different parts of the regions of the world, and they'd come in. So their money would need to be changed. And the prices that the money changers were charging were equivalent to a week's worth of wages for these people. Okay? They would have to buy animals for sacrifices. Doves or pigeons for the poor. And they would cost about a week's wages. So you can imagine. And then and on top of that, you've got accommodation, you've got food, all these things. And they're being ripped off by the locals. Now, added to that, the temple acted as a treasury. So those who were wealthy, there would have been some wealthy pilgrims as well, they would bring large deposits of cash to put into the treasury. So it acted like a bank. So when the Romans finally sacked the temple in 70 AD, the coffers were brimming, absolutely brimming with money. There were millions of dollars in there, equivalent to millions of dollars. So you get the idea. This place, the temple, from it came the status quo of consistency and everything, the Pax Romana, everything being in its place, its rightful place, including the poor. Yeah, who have just accepted this. Now, imagine this. Then we've got Jesus entering through the city gates. People saying, this guy's the Messiah. And everyone's really excited because he's for the poor, the people of the land. Now, those who have got positions of power and status and authority, priests, with these things, equivalent of, they were looking at this and going, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, what is going on here? Now, Jesus, the piece de resistance, picks up his whip in the middle of the temple and overturns everything. Which our lives, as priests, are based on. That all this nation, its security, is based upon. You get the picture? Now, Jesus didn't do this because he was an idiot. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was striking at the heart of the corruption of this religious state, what it had become. We need to be aware of that because we can so easily slip into that where power is misused. And it's usually associated with money as well, unfortunately. It's not money that is the problem, it's men's and women's hearts. So Jesus smashed the status quo by that very action. The certainty of important people's lives, we're important, is being threatened. And Jesus walks straight into that and knocks up against it. There's going to be repercussions. There's got to be. But he's popular. That's a problem. Let's get rid of him. So you understand a little bit more about why he was crucified, yeah? So, religion It can turn bad very, very easily. And it's portrayed a lot in Hollywood, the negative side of faith. Well, faith or religion can turn nasty through misuse of power and people holding on to power, worldly power, at the expense of those who are poor and vulnerable. Jesus struck at that. The church should be striking at that because it represents Jesus. The work the 40-hour famine do is a justice issue. And that book by Keller, I thoroughly recommend you read that because he is one of my favorite preachers. He is a very, very good preacher. So if you get a hold of that book, do have a good read of it. Now, it's interesting. What was the response to Jesus clearing this temple? If you look in Matthew, the authorities came up to him in verse 23 in chapter 21. By whose authority do you do this? I don't know if you remember what Jesus said. He said, well, I'll ask you a question. Whose authority did John the Baptist have? And they thought, oh my goodness, oh yeah, if we say this, we can't tell you. Well, therefore, I'm not going to tell you by whose authority I'm using. I'm not going to bother. Contrast that with the beginning of this passage. Let's have a look. He starts it by saying, chapter 28, 26, all power in heaven and earth have been given to me by God, you guys. These are the people who recognize who Jesus is, his closest followers. He's going to tell them where his authority comes from. He tells you where his authority comes from. It comes from God. And it has repercussions. Therefore, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. As we enter a new era as this church, in a post-Christian era where many churches are struggling, don't be afraid. That is God's message to you and to me. Don't be afraid. Because God is good, and all power in heaven and earth have been given to Jesus by God. But there's consequences to that, and he goes on with that. Don't be afraid, it's done. Therefore, go. You see, it continues. Don't just sit there in your pew, if you're in a pew, or in your chair, listen for his voice, and then respond. Action is required. Don't just get up and run around aimlessly like a headless chook. You need to hear his voice and respond to his voice. Go with the purpose of making disciples all over the world. Go with purpose. And be ready to unsettle certainty and status quo in people's lives. Worldly status quo and certainty in people's lives. So, he calls us to go and make disciples. Well, a disciple is simply a follower of Jesus. A follower. So, a disciple listens, gets up, and follows. Really simple. It means taking steps. But what sort of steps do you need to take? Well, Jesus continues to instruct. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, telling them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, I've got a story. When I was a new Christian, when I came to faith, and I told you I got a call to London. I went to London, and it was the early 90s, so things were quite tough economically. And I worked as a builder's labourer, and I earned £4 an hour. And as a young 27-year-old in London, you want to go to the West End. And so I went to the West End. I fell asleep because I was jet-lagged. And but it cost almost a week's wages to go to the theatre. Anyway, I worked as a builder's labourer, and I also worked at Wembley as a sports centre. But I used to travel across the city on the tube. Now, those of you who have travelled on the tube, which is most of us, you know that you get the black snot and it's expensive. You pay lots of money for that. Anyway, from Tottenham I was living, and I got on the tube. I was getting paid £4 an hour. My money was running out very, very quickly. And I discovered that I could ride on the tube without paying. And I did this, much to my shame. I did this probably for about two or three days. I thought, wow, that's good. I can save two hours work a day. And anyway, one morning I was sitting there and I hadn't paid. And I looked down the train and I saw these people with uniforms on coming down the train aisle, and they were coming towards me. And I recognized that they were Metro Police, I think it is, and they were checking people's tickets. And I knew they were gonna, and I knew something's gonna happen. It was coming, it was like a tidal wave. So I got out of there, got out of the station, went and paid for a ticket. And look, I resolved to never ever do anything like that again. This was part of following Jesus, was hearing his voice, being convicted of right behavior, and doing something about it. I don't know if that rings true for anyone else, but stuff like that happens throughout our lives, and that was kind of like a watershed for me. I thought, okay, I've been a student, I've been struggling with money and so forth, I'm going to trust God for money. And he's been good. He's been good, because he provides. And he loves us and cares for us. And he has all power in heaven and earth that has been given to Jesus. Because he lives, we can face the future. No matter what you are facing in your circumstances, the song we were singing had rung so much truth. Beautifully sung, by the way. Thank you, guys. Because he lives, we can face an uncertain future. Now, following Jesus requires faith and trust. One thing, what I remember someone saying to me when I was a new Christian, they're saying, Ian, I can see, it's one of these prophet guys. They can be very annoying. And he said, Ian, I can see you're following Jesus and you're like a lamb and you're in behind his legs and you want to poke your head through and see what's up ahead. And you're getting in Jesus' way because he's tripping over you. But I think it was really true because we want the certainty in our lives. Jesus calls us to uncertainty. Kate will be talking about that soon. Look, there is a faith issue with us going ahead as far as raising money for the ministry we're going to be involved with, increasingly involved with as a church, which is serving this parish. It's exciting, but there's risks, and it's uncertain, and it's exciting, because God's in control. Amen? It is exciting, it's an adventure. We need to let go of some of our own anxieties about control and provision. And for us, that means, you know, letting go of what's in our pockets sometimes. Oh, my shoelace. Yeah. Thank you. I would have tripped over that. Thank you. Thanks for looking after me. I do need looking after. Look, the breaking up of that status quo and that certainty begins with us. It begins with us as disciples. And how does it happen? It happens through our relationship with God. It happens through Scripture. It happens through our relationship with those who are closest to us. Sometimes we wish they weren't there. God has placed them there. It happens with those in the workplace who you find most difficult to work with. Because God is sovereign and is in control. Does that make sense? It's a hard one, eh? God shapes us by those who are closest to us. How is he shaping you now, at this moment, this week coming up? How is he shaping you? What is he saying to you? Can we stop saying, oh my goodness, so annoying. Something about me in that relationship that causes that friction. Something in my heart that needs to change. There will be prayer available today, by the way. Is the prayer team here? Fantastic. Are you guys offering prayer today? Did you have any words or anything? No, that's fine. Absolutely fine. Look, guys, they're a lovely team of a ministry, prayer ministry people will pray for you today, if anything is speaking to you today in particular. Okay, coming into land. Look, we have an amazing platform here at St. Mary's as far as mission is concerned. You've got it already, but it's getting bigger. Things like the quiz night last night, we had many people who came along, well, a number of people who were never seen in church for a long time or before. A great opportunity to come alongside those people. One of my favorite, when we're on with YWAM, one of the things, one of their phrases was the two hands of the gospel. So the gospel of service and the gospel itself. We can very easily get sucked into doing one without the other. But to do this well, we need to be able to provide the service for people's needs alongside the gospel, the reason for that service. Another fantastic little nugget that I'll pass along to you today, Bishop Ali often uses this. It's like we are beggars searching for bread. We've found the source of the freshly baked bread, and we want to tell other beggars that this is where it is. That's a lovely analogy for mission. Telling people where life is. I am the bread of life. Those two things. If you don't remember anything else, take those two things with you today. Other platforms at St. Mary's. We've got missional communities. We've got a family missional community. They meet once a month over in the churchyard with a new playground now, which will be very exciting. And they have spouses of people who come to church, who don't come to church themselves, come along. People who are new to the church or with young families, they get together and they just hang out and play games and eat. A great place to do that. The Cityside Missional Community does the same thing for this service. For those who are on the fringes of this service, partners of, friends of, you're most, most welcome to come along once a month and eat with us. It's an intimate thing, eating with other people. Generous hospitality is one of our mantras here in this church. The 9 o'clock do the same. They're trying to get that going as well. There's the fish and chip evening. We have 90 people come in here. I think it's once a quarter, three or four times a year, with their families. Friday nights, fish and chips and a few drinks, and the kids hang out and have games with the youth and play on the bouncy castle. And we get to know people in our parish who we serve. It's a delight. Absolute delight. Smash, they have their service once a year. The pet service is not just a fifth Sunday service. Guys, that's an opportunity for you to come along and connect with the community. The ECEC grandparents service is another one of those. Please come along to those. I know some people who go, oh my goodness, it's the fifth Sunday service. I'm not going to get what I want. There's another great little nugget I'm going to give to you, and this is the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. I love that. It's not about us, though we're involved. I'm going to end it there. Kate will speak about the new build and the opportunities that are going to come from that. They're exciting. And it's missional. And it's about us realizing how needy we are and how good God is and how he fulfills those needs. He breaks our status quo And he breaks up our certainty so that our status quo and our certainty are based in him who provides, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and all authority and power in heaven and earth is given to him.